Here's the garden out of lunch, oh, afterwards.
I applaud you gentlemen for coming on the fast day. It's a good way to spend the fast. Takes your mind off it a little bit. We want to get to the Mishnah on Daf Tezayin, but before we do that, I just want to point out a little bit of a sugya on Daf Tezvav Amid Beis, towards the bottom of the Daf. And the Gemara there is commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah back on Tezvav Amid Aleph, in the second section of the Mishnah, records machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda around the question of Korav lo digdeg biyosi oseha. He read Kriyat Shema, but he wasn't medagdeg in the osios. You have to read it very, very carefully. And lesman depolig, I mean, even if I hold like Rabbi Yossi, who says that if he messed up a little bit, he's Yotze, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi would agree that lechatchila, you have to be medagdeik bi osi oseha. And that's something that's very important, that we don't perhaps take cognizance of when we read Kriyat Shema. So maybe for Aser Yisimei Tshuva, this is something that we could try to be more careful about, not just pas palter, but also to be mekayim this din of being medagdeik bi osi oseha. So Rabbi Yossi, according to the Mishnah, says Yotza, if he didn't fulfill this obligation. Rabbi Yehuda says Lo Yotza. What's exactly the case here? And the reason I raise this issue is because I want to know whether the Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda revolves around the case that the Gemara quotes here on Daf Tezvav Amid Beis on the bottom, or are we talking about a totally different case? On Tezvav Amid Beis on the bottom, the Gemara quotes a brisa that was brought by Rav Ovadia in front of Rava, and that's v'limadetem shiyehei limudecha tam sheyitein revach bein hadvekim. And the Gemara is going to go on to give many examples of what this means of revach bein hadvekim. And here, the lashon of the Mishnah is lo digdeik biyosi oseha. Shall I assume that this brisa that's being quoted here on Tezvav Amid Beis about limud chatam sheyitein revach bein hadvekim, is that exactly what the Mishnah means? Maybe this brisa is being quoted to shed a light on the Mishnah. But again, Rashi uses a different terminology here. Rashi explains in our Mishnah, Lefarshan Yafa Bisifsosav. And if you take a look in Rabbeinu Yonah here, I think he is aware of this issue. And he says the following. The Rabbeinu Yonah is back here on the Mishnah, and it's on Daf Ches Amid Beis in the Dape Arif, and he writes the following: Korav lo digdeik biyosi oseha, ein ze hadigduk sheyitein revach bein hadvekim. This digduk, this careful, meticulous reading, is not to be identified with revach bein hadvekim. Sheze dover acherhu. Revach bein hadvekim is something totally different. Shahosif Rava Viomar Acherkach. He says that Rav is going to add that on his own. Again, that's based on this Gemara here on the Tesvav Amid Beis, that the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Avadya brought this brisa in front of Rava, and Rava embellished this brisa by telling us different examples of Revach bein hadvekim. Kigon, he gives the example of Al Livavecha. Because if you don't take a little bit of a pause between Al and Livavecha, it sounds like one word, Al Livavecha. Or for example, Esev Visadcha. Or Vavadatem Mehera. And from time to time, you'll see people that are very, very careful about this. But Rabbeinu Yonah says that the machlokes in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is not to be identified with this halach of revach bein hadvekim. That's dover achish osif rova. Aval adigduk sheiz kiro b'mishnah. The Mishnah quotes a machlokas tanoim about somebody who wasn't medagdeg. That's a different business. He says shelo yarpe hadogesh velo yidgosh ha'rafe. Right, there are certain letters that have to be emphasized. Those are the degushos, and then there's a fey. Like for example, if you have a fey with a dot in it, that's already degusha, and then you could have a fey without a dot. That's refuya, and it's very important to differentiate between the two. V'izar b'kriyas ha'osiel shelo tivla os achas b'charata. Now he gives us an example of this, what he calls blia. When you bolea, when you swallow together one letter with another. Shaloyomar vechara af, and instead of reading it as vechara af, he reads it vecharaf. And this is what he claims is the subject of our Mishnah, which records machlokes, where according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not even yotze. That means we could try to do the best we can with your second class kriya, and we really want to root for you and try to project you that you are Yotzei, but according to Rabbi Yehuda at least, there's a limit beyond which we cannot accept your Kriyat Shema. Your reading, your recitation has crossed all the bounds.
Or after the same with Vegas?
I don't think so, because I think he's quoting it as a case of roughly. I don't know. I'm not sure. Let's take a look at the Rambam and see. Maybe you can support your position with the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchas Kriyat Shema, Perek Beis Halacha Ches, and the Rambam writes, "V'tzarech l'dagdek b'yosioseha, v'im lo digdek yotza." So clearly, the Rambam is going to learn that our sugya on Daf Tesvav Amid Beis, the sugya of attaching words to each other, that itself is going to be the same subject of the Mishnah of Tzarek L'dagdek B'yoseh. How do I know this? Because take a look in Halacha's test. Ketzad Midagdek. The Rambam spells it out for you. What does it mean, L'dagdek? Yizoyer, you should be careful, Shelo Yerape HaChazok V'lo Yechazek HaRafa. V'lo yonid hanach, v'lo yaniach hanod. Right, there's something called the shvanach and the shvanod, and this should be very careful. Lefichach, tzarech litein revach bein kol shtei osios hadomos. Shachas me besof hateva acheres betchilas hateva smuchola. Kigon, b'chol vavecha, and he writes it, he reads it as Bechol levavecha is one word. Kari bechol, what he really should be doing is he should take a breath after the word bechol. V'shoe v'chose v'kari levavecha. So the Rambam clearly indicates that our sugya about attaching two words instead of taking a little bit of a break between them, of shoe, is identical with our Mishnah of Tzarech L'dagdek B'Yosioseh. In the Rabbeinu Yonah, I'm not so sure, because Rabbeinu Yonah goes out of his way to write, Ein zeh hadigduk sheyitein revach bein hadveikim. So I think the Rabbeinu Yonah is going out of his way. Now I'm wondering if there could be a fundamental machlokas here between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah about the following. If you take a look in our sugya, the sugya on Daf Tesvav Amid Beis, the Braisa of Rabbi Avadya, it derives this halacha of separating words of Yitein Revach Bein Advekim from a pasuk. Let's read it inside. V'limadetem. So what does this mean, V'limadetem? So the Mefarshim explains that Limadetem is called Limud Tam. Tam means it should complete. She'ei Limud Choch Tam, she'itein Revach Bein Advekim. So basically what the Drush is doing is it's taking this word Limadetem and splicing it in the middle. You read it Limad and then Tem or Tom, actually with a comats under the Tav. She'ei Limud Choch Tom, sheyitein revach bein hadvekim. Now I'm thinking out loud, and again, what everything I'm going to tell you now is very, you know, is very iffy. I don't have any proof for it. That Rabbeinu Yonah, by telling us that there's no issue in our Mishnah about this case, this is Rava's own addition, what Rabbeinu Yonah might be saying is one of two things. He might be telling us that this is a more serious issue, this meaning Tesvav Amid Beis is a more serious issue. And even Rav Yossi, who says in our Mishnah that if you weren't Medakdik Bosil Seha, then Yatza, that's only because this Digduk B'Yosel is a difference between Rafe and Chazak. But it's not derived from a Pasuk. Whereas, in contrast, this Limud of Yitain Revach Ben Advekim, which is the Brice of Rav Yovadia, is derived from a Pasuk. And if it's derived from a Pasuk, it might be Li'ikuva, it might be Ma'akev. In other words, what Rabbi Yossi says in our Mishnah Yatza in Lo Digdik Be'osiel Seha, that means he didn't express it precisely, but he didn't undermine the meaning of a word. Correct? That could be possible. Again, you still have your kasha to deal from V'charaf, I understand. But leaving that kasha on the side, at least in the ratio of Rabbeinu Yonah, when he says that Lo Digdek B'Yosiel Seha is not the same as Sheitein Revach Ben Advekim, and he separates between the two, I'm offering the possible pshat that Yitein Revach Ben Advekim is even more fundamental, it's even more essential to Kriyat Shema, because if you combine two words together, then you've made two words into one word, and you've really changed the Kriyas HaParsha. And that, perhaps, even Rabbi Yossi would agree, is absolutely ma'akev. Or, I can offer the exact opposite pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah might be saying that this pasuk of limadetem, and the way the Gemara darshans it, as she'elu mudcha tam she'tein revach ben advekim, is really not a yalfusa gemura, it's not a full-fledged derivation, it's only a, what we call it, a smachta. In other words, the Rabbanan want you to be careful with the way you read Kriyat Shema, but here in this case, since you still have the basic meaning of the words, even though, again, you've combined two words into one, that was the drawback. But on the other hand, b'chol avavchem, when you hear it as one, b'chol avavchem, you can understand it at least, the listener can understand that it means b'chol levavchem. In the Rambam, we don't have the luxury of saying that maybe there's a difference between Yitein Revach Ben Advekim and Lo Digdek B'Osiel Seha, because the Rambam combines them together. Now, according to the Rambam then, one thing is crystal clear. If you combine two words together, because the end of one word is the same letter as the beginning of the next word, would you be Yotze Kriyat Shema B'Dievet? That's explicit in the Rambam. Again, I'll read the Rambam to you. He says, "V'tzarech ledagdek b'yosiel seha, v'im lo digdek yatza." And the Rambam combines in lo digdek rafa v'chazak and sheyitein revach bein hadvekim. So it means that this halacha of sheyitein revach bein hadvekim, according to the Rambam, is only lechatchila, because the Rambam paskins like Rav Yossi that digduk b'yosiel seha is only a requirement l'chatchila, but b'dieved yoyotze. In Rabbeinu Yonah's frame of reference, I'm not 100% sure whether or not yitein revach ben advekim, if he says b'chol avavchem, whether or not he's yotze b'dieved. It's not clear to me in Rabbeinu Yonah. Because when Rabbeinu Yonah says that ein zeh adigduk sheitein revach ben advekim shezeh dover acher hu shehosif rova, is that dover acher more fundamental, more essential, or less essential? There would be no machlokus about it. Even Rabbi Yehuda would be moda that in this case, yoyotze. It's not it's not clear to me. I'm inclined to think that what Rabbeinu Yonah means is that in the case of Litein Revach Ben Advekim, even Rabbi Yehuda would be moda that you yotze. That there's a much more fundamental chisaron in the case of Lo Digdei Piyosio Seho, because Lo Pirish Yofa, I think, means that he didn't say it in a way that somebody could understand who hears it. In other words, it's a total blia. If you take a look at Rashi on our daf, on daf tes vav amid beis, Rashi says velo digdeik shemagamgem. Magamgem means to stutter, which is very interesting because Rashi on the Mishnah says shelo digdeik yosiasel lefarshon yofa bisfasov. That's I don't know, lefarshon yofa bisfasov. It doesn't sound like he's mumbling. But here Rashi spells it out that he's mumbling. I mean, if we want to reconcile the two Rashis, we're going to have to say that Rashi Gimgame is explaining what he meant by Lo Digdek Lefarshan Yofer, and that might be, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, a basic chisaron in Kriyat Shema, because, you know, if he's stuttering or if he's not reading it carefully, people don't know what he's reading. But maybe in the case of Rava, where he combines two words, the listener might be able to understand what he's reading. But here, Rabosa, I want to raise a question with you. Many Rishonim hold that for Kriyat Shema, we only need, on a Daraisa level, one parsha. That's Rashi Shita and Rabbeinu Yonah Shita. The Rashba disagrees. We'll see why soon, because our Gemara seems to assume that maybe the second parak is also Doraisa, the second parasha of Kriyat Shema. But be that as it may, according to the Shitas HaRishonim, that only the first parasha of Kriyat Shema is Doraisa, I have a little bit of a problem here with Rava, with this Braisa Rabbi Yavadya. Because he's basing himself on the pasuk Vilimaditem. Vilimaditem osam esbenechem lidaberbam. Where is that pasuk? It's in the second parasha. Well, the second parasha is not even Doraisa according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah. So why do we derive a halacha in Kriyat Shema? Meaning, in Kriyat Shema Doraisa, again, whether it's Lechatchila or even Likuv, I don't know. But nevertheless, it means that when I read the first parasha of Kriyat Shema, what do we say over there? V'haftos Hashem Elokecha. Bechol nafshecha, what does it say? Bechol levavcha, right? So we have to say bechol levavcha. How do I know that? Because it says v'limaditem osam es b'nechem. But v'limaditem osam es b'nechem is in the second parasha of Kriyat Shema, which is not Doraisa at all. Isn't it a little bit odd that we're deriving from a pasuk that's not even part of Kriyat Shema a basic halach in Kriyat Shema, which might even be Likuva? Again, the Rambam holds not like that. In Rabbeinu Yonah, we were vacillating back and forth. But be that as it may, it's Rabbeinu Yonah who holds. That's why I'm inclined to think that this halacha of Litein Revach Ben Advekim is only Lechatchila. If it would be Likuva, and it completely nulls and voids your Kriyat Shema because you combine two words, then I think we're violating the basic rule that you cannot derive from a parsha in the Torah, which is not part of Kriyat Shema, an essential requirement, an indispensable requirement in Kriyat Shema. That violates all the rules. But I will say, truth be told, I have a more basic problem over here. What's the subject of the words V'limaditem Osam Es B'neichem? Talmud Torah. What does Talmud Torah have to do over here? If you want to tell me that in Hilchas Talmud Torah there's a halacha of Litein Revach Ben Advekim, so I would quote to you the Rashi on Daf Hey Amid Aleph. You remember this Rashi that we discussed at great length. The Gemara goes through the pasuk at the end of Parshas Mishpatim word by word to interpret what these words mean. Vetna lecha es luchos ha'evin v'torah v'mitzvah sher kasafti lahorosam. And the Gemara says that Torah, the word Torah here, ze mikra. What does Zeb Mikra mean? Rashi says Zeb Mikra Chumash. Shed mitzvah likros batorah. That there's a mitzvah to read the Chumash itself. That's what it says in Rashi. Now, we, back in Daf Hey, I mean, it's been a while, a lot of water under the bridge, but we discussed the possibility that it's not just the five books of Moses, not just that the Chamisha Kumshei Torah falls under mitzvahs Kriya, but possibly all of Tanakh. But there's a separate mitzvah of Kriya. Not the Kriya B'tzibur, Rabbo say, that we read in shul, but any individual who sits down and reads the psukim in the Torah is makayim a mitzvah. And that's the mitzvah of limaditem osam es b'neichem, l'daber bam. L'daber bam means it means Kriya. And the Gemara says that he should start with reading Kriyat Shema, the first part of Kriyat Shema, or Torah Tzivul on Moshe, or Rosh Kilis Yaakov, different psukim. So when you teach your child psukim, you're really training him to be Mekayim in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is in the case of Torah Shebichsav, or at least according to Rashi in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, a mitzvah of Kriya. How do I fulfill that mitzvah of Kriya? So the answer is v'limadet tam. And what does v'limadet tam mean? What is the tam? Shetehei revach bein advekim. That you cannot combine words. Wonderful. So we now have a new chiddush in Hilchas Talmud Torah that we see here in the Gemara on Daf Tefillin days. But the question is that this Gemara is not talking about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's talking about the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. These are both like this takes us back to the Yerushalmi that we discussed over and over and over again. Let's just review the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi wants to know, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says that he wasn't mafsik from his learning, from his study of Torah for the sake of Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara asks, how could that be? You have to stop your Torah for the sake of any mitzvah. So what does Yerushalmi answer? Hai shinun v'hai shinun. Maishna shinun zeh, mishinun zeh. It means, shinun, the word shinun means Torah, Talmud Torah, Limud Torah. That Kriyat Shema itself is Talmud Torah. The Yisoda Yisodas of Kriyat Shema is Talmud Torah. In fact, that's why the Gemara establishes that if you did not recite Birchas HaTorah, but you recited Birchas Kriyat Shema Yotze, you don't need a separate bracha. You see, if you have any doubts about it, that the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is essentially a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And this itself would prove that there's a relationship between Talmud Torah and Kriyat Shema, because otherwise, how could the second parsha of Kriyat Shema, which is the Rabbanan, reveal and teach what's likuva, what is absolutely required, at least l'chatchila, if not even b'di'eved, in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? This pasuk is written in the second parsha, which is not part of Kriyat Shema. Midrabbanan you have to read it, but not midraisa. But the answer is, this parsha is teaching me the laws of Talmud Torah. And once I learn how to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then mele I know how to fulfill the mitzvah of what? Of Kriyat Shema. Okay, that's Roman numeral number one. So again, let's just review quickly. What we see here is that Rabbi Yona tries to separate between our mission of Digdei B'Yossi Yoseh, the Machlokas Shin of Yossi, and Rabbi Yehuda, and the Suya Daf Tezvama Midbeis of the Dibar Tom, the Dibar Tom, which means Yehei Revach Bein Advekim. We're not sure which direction Rabbi Yona is going. That's ambiguous. The Rambam combines both the Mishnah and Litain Revach Bein Advekim. But one thing is crystal clear, that the halacha of Dibar Tam is a halacha in Hilchas Kriyat Shema, which is very strange, since it's really fundamentally halacha in Talmud Torah. Okay, now we go on to the Mishnah that I wanted to learn with you on Daf Tezayin Amid Beis. The Mishnah establishes that Ha'umnin, so these are people who are working up on the tree, let's say they're harvesting the fruits off the tree, Korin Barosh Ha'ilon, they can read Kriyat Shema when the time comes while they're on the top of the tree, and they don't have to what? They don't have to ascend from the tree. Uberosh HaNidbach, if they're working on the top of a building, they're cementing stones on the top, they don't have to come down. And that's okay. Even though, again, it's a very precarious situation, and they might forget, they might, excuse me, be overwhelmed by fear lest they fall. And it's very difficult in that situation to have the proper kavana. Nevertheless, for Kriyat Shema, that's okay. And we have to understand why. The Mishnah says, in contrast, Masha'enom Rashoim Lasos Kein B'Tfilah. However, when it comes to Tfilah, you're not allowed to recite Shemon Esrei when you're up on top of the tree or this Nidbach. And now we have to begin to study the reason why. Rashi says that as far as Tfilah is concerned, he doesn't say much about Kriyat Shema. He says that Tzlusa Rachmehi. This is a principle in Tefillah that we've seen in the past. We'll see it later on at Daf Chaf and Mishnah Shem, a very fundamental sugya about how to define Tefillah. Tefillah is Rachman. Rachman means that we ask Hashem for compassion. Uboi Kavana requires Kavana. I mean, if you were reading this Rashi, Uboi Kavana, and you wanted to take this to an extreme, you know, really, literally, what would Rashi be implying here when he says, Uboi Kavana? That tefillah needs Kavana. What does Rashi seem to imply? When you're davening, you have to come down from the tree. That Kriyat Shema doesn't require Kavana. That's a problem. We know that Kriyat Shema does require Kavana. Hilchach Rashi says, "Ein mispalin barosh ha'ilan barosh ha'nidbach demistefei." What does mistefei mean? Mistefei means he's afraid. Mistefei is afraid. Dilma nafli might fall down. The ein yecholim lamod sham el al yedeat chak. You know, you really have to be very careful when you're on this high place. Umachmas be susam, because of this fear, lo matzi mechavne, he's not capable of having Kavana. And now the question is, what do we do with Kriyat Shema? Kriyat Shema also requires Kavana. And I think if you have the Mishnayos here, again, this is underneath this whole pile here. Oh boy. Okay. Oh, it's not underneath the pile.
Disappeared.
Okay. I don't mind that you use this form, just if you can return it, because otherwise I get it all discombobulated. So the Rambam says the following. The Rambam says, Ha'umnin korin barasha ilan barasha nidbach pirish umnin osei malacha uminag bonei akiros biofa lahatziv shnei luchos. Rambam gives you a whole engineering lesson over here to show you how precarious his situation is. And they can recite Kriyat Shema when they're up on top. Says the Rambam, however, with regard to tefillah, also lem shalispalel sham mipnei tirdas halev, they can't daven there up on top because of tirdas halev. Ukriyat Shema, lo titztarech lekavanas halev ela bepasuk rishon bilvat. Kriyat Shema is different than tefillah, because Kriyat Shema only requires Kavana with regard to the first pasuk. The Rav in the Bartanura says the same thing, probably relying on the Rambam. He says, "De Kriyat Shema lo boi kavana el bepasuk rishon bilvat." So we don't have to bring someone who's working on the top of a tree all the way down to the bottom of the tree, which is a whole to do, in order to recite Kriyat Shema, which requires kavana only for one pasuk. But with regard to tefillah, that's different, because tefillah requires kavana from beginning until end. My only issue here is, why does Rashi, and you'll see it here also in the Bartanura, say that with regard to tefillah, that tzluse rachme ninhu? It's interesting. If Rashi was just simply making this distinction, as the Rambam and the Bartanura seem to have made, that whereas Kriyat Shema only requires Kavanah in one pasuk, whereas Tefillah requires Kavanah from the beginning to the end, I'm not exactly sure why Rashi felt compelled to add the word Slusa. I'm sorry, Tzlusa Rachmeninu. That Tzlusa is Rachmanus. It's Bakoshas Rachman. I don't know, do we have to get so dramatic and philosophical about the nature of prayer in order to appreciate that there's halacha that you need kavanah from beginning to end? Okay, I don't know if it's a gigantic kasha, if it's a big horror or not. Now there's something here in the Melech HaShlomo on the Mishnayis. He writes, I wrote this on page 2 because it's Roman numeral number 2, Beis. Do you see that? He's bothered by the following question. And that is, why does the Mishnah use the term Masha'ein Rashoi Lasos came bitfila? It sounds a little bit laid back. It sounds a little bit more calm. It's not so severe. Nira, says the Melech HaShlomo, Hadalo Kitani, why doesn't it say in our Mishnah, Avalomis Palalim? It should have used a much more direct and harsh absolute language of Lomis Palalim, that you're not allowed to daven there. It only says, Ein Rashoi, it's not recommended, it's something that you shouldn't do. Says the Melech HaShlomo Lamdenu, it's teaching us by choosing this language, the im b'di'evet is palal sham yotze yedei chovos. Now, according to the Melech HaShlomo, and I absolutely identify and empathize with his reading of the Mishnah, the whole din of the Mishnah is only lechatchila. That if he goes up there and he remains there for tefillah, that's not the right thing to do. He should come down off his high horse, Humpty Dumpty, right? But that's only lechatchila. What happens? But the Evanis Yotze, otherwise the Mishnah would have said, Lo Yispalel. He should not daven there. It doesn't say Lo Yispalel, it just says Ein Rashoi, which means lechatchila. It's a lashon of lechatchila. So this bothered me a little bit, because everybody and their uncle seem to be saying here that the reason why you have to get off this high place for tefillah is because of kavanah. Am I right? The Mishnah doesn't say the word kavanah. The Mishnah says, "Havel ein rashoim lasses came to tefillah." The premise is, as we saw in Rashi, we saw it in the Rambam, we saw it in the Bartanura, we see it here in the Melech HaShlomo, everyone per echad unanimously says that it's an inyan, it's a halach of kavanah b'tefillah. And they all ask the question, well, Kriyat Shema also requires kavanah. And they answer, well, Kriyat Shema only requires kavanah in Pasuk Rishon. Here you need kavanah throughout the whole thing. But then for the Melech HaShlomo to tell me that I could be yotzei even on the top of a tree, so we have to lechora add another clause here, another proviso, that when can be yotze on top of the tree b'di'evid? When? Only if you had kavanah, correct? Because we know that kavanah is an absolute indispensable requirement in tefillah. In fact, the Rambam's language in Perek Dalet Milchus Tefillah is very outspoken on this. The Rambam says, kavanah salev ketzad, halacha tes, called tefillah she'ena b'kavana, ena tefillah. The mispal below kavana, chozer mispal b'kavana. And the truth is, I don't know anyone who disagrees with this Rambam. Kavana is essential. This is the Rambam in Perek Dal. You remember, Rabosa, we've discussed this in the past, there's a fundamental difference between Perek Dal, Milchus Tefillah, and Perek Hei, Milchus Tefillah. Perek Dal, Milchus Tefillah, is Dvarim HaMa'akvim Esat Tefillah. Perek Hei is Dvarim She'ena Ma'akvim Esat Tefillah. And in the list of Dvarim HaMa'akvim Esat Tefillah, he has Kavana Salev as the fifth of the five things Elikuva. The Rambam says if a person is not in the state of being where he could be miskaven, then he shouldn't daven. Dvar machovzun also ketsa shimhoyet tzorch l'nikov of lo yispalel. And the Rambam speaks about someone who's tarut, and he can't be pona libo, he should not daven. And therefore shikar should not daven because he cannot have kavana. And the Rambam says clearly, if a shikar would daven, then tfiloso toeva. V'chozer mispala, yeah, okay, after he sobers up. But be that as it may, the Rambam is clear that tefillah is essential, that kavana is essential to tefillah. So my question to you is, if the diuk of the Melech HaShlomo is a good diuk, and when I get a good diuk, I don't like to give up on it. You know, he's really right. I mean, it says, Ein Rashoim Lassos came with tefillah. Sounds like it's a lechatchila kind of halacha, but if it's a kavana halacha, how could it possibly be that b'di'eved he would be yotzei? Unless, again, we add that proviso that he can take a shvua d'oraisa that he had kavana, despite the fact that he was on the top of the, you know, I don't want to say the World Trade Center. I don't know how tall that is today, but on top of the, is it as tall as the old one? Or?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. No. Okay, but let's say the Empire State Building, if in New York, what's the tallest building in London? Is it? But you can't climb to the top of Big Ben, I don't think, can you? In Toronto, there's a place called the Tower, the Toronto Tower. You know, that's very, very high up. So those are not, you know, those are not places that are conducive to have kavana.
It's not quite the same, is it? I mean, if you're on a tree, and it's a tree, it's not quite the same as being inside a building at the top of the building.
Right, but imagine, Michael, we're talking about a nidbach. You know, if it was only a tree, I would agree with you. You know, you could situate yourself, you know, your two legs, wrap them around a heavy branch, you know, maybe. But here we're talking about a rosh ha-nidbach. And all the Rishonim say that a nidbach is a very narrow, high area which has no protection to it. You know, anyway, but be that as it may, I would agree with you that if the Melech HaShlomo's diuk is correct, we're going to have to assume that he had kavana. Somehow he, you know, he's like Superman. He's able to overcome all the natural fears and focus on his tefillah. But again, all this is a little bit odd to me.
Really?
Yeah?
Is it possible to say the Melech HaShlomo is saying that you know to the idea that he had kavana at least in the first three brachas? In all those.
Well, wait a minute. We'll come back to this later, Alan. But if I could just correct you, not the first three, but the first.
Okay.
Right. First. In Magen Avraham.
Okay. Magen Opus. So that would be more similar than to Kriyashma.
Right.
Could be.
But again, you know, then the question is how to read this Rambam, because the Rambam writes Kol Tefillah Sheina B'Kavana Eina Tefillah. It sounds like the Rambam is maintaining that. From the beginning of tefillah until the end of tefillah, you must have kavana. Without kavana, it's not tefillah. It's not halacha in one bracha or a different bracha. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying the Melech HaShlomo has to agree with the Rambam. I don't know that he does, but I don't know that anyone else disagrees with the Rambam. But Alan, let's hold on to your point for just 1 minute, because I want to show you something that's fascinating. If you were the Rambam, and you were codifying our Mishnah, that with regard to tefillah, you have to get down from the high places, which perek would you codify that halacha in? Perek Dalet or Perek He? Assuming again, like Rashi, and like the Pirush HaMishnayos LaRambam that we saw, assuming like the Melech HaShlomo, they all say it's a din in what? In Kavana. Kavana is listed where? Again, in which perek?
Perek
Dal. Okay, now let's fast forward for a moment to Perek He. The Rambam has in Perek He eight items or conditions that Tzarech Lizar Bahem V'Lasosam, you have to be very careful. But nevertheless, the evidence says, Eina Ma'akvim. Okay, now amongst the eight things, I want to call to your attention the next to, almost the next to the last, he says, Tikun HaMakom. Now let's see what the Rambam has for Tikun HaMakom. Okay, we're going to have to fast forward here to Halacha Vav. So Tikun HaMakom, the Rambam says, is Yamod B'Makom Namuch. He should be standing in a low place, and he should not be climbing on to a high place. Okay, I don't know if that has anything to do with our sugya per se. Maybe the Rambam is talking about someone who is in a shul. You know, in the old days, the shliach tzibur was a little bit lower. You know, ma'amakim krasicha Hashem. But now let's fast forward to halacha ches, which is all part of this you know, if you needed a title page for any part of Perek Hey that goes beyond Halacha Vav, from Halacha Vav of Perek Hey and on, it's called Tikkun HaMakom. And within that context of Tikkun HaMakom, the Rambam says in Halacha Ches, Ha'umnin Shahayu Barosh HaKotel O Barosh HaIlon V'Giyazman Tfila Yardim Lemata U'Mispalalim. They should come down from the high place, whether it's up on the wall, on top of the wall they're working, they're cementing, or it's on top of the tree and they're cutting the fruits down. This is Halacha Ches, is really a hemshech of Halacha Vav, Halacha Zayin. Halacha Zayin is Lo Yamed B'Mokum Gavoa. He shouldn't be standing on a Mokum Gavoa. The Ram has this all as a definition of what? What's the name of this section? Tikkun HaMakom. Well, wait a minute. Tikkun HaMakom is in Perek Hey. And Tikkun HaMakom has nothing to do with Kavana. And not only that, Tikkun HaMakom, the Rambam says, is Eino Ma'akivis HaTfila. Whereas the Rambam in Perek Dalet says that Kavana is Ma'akivis HaTfila. This Rambam is a Pele. It's an unbelievable Rambam. And I would submit to you, you know, the Rambam waited 30 years between his authoring the Pirush HaMishnayos and when he wrote his Mishneh Torah. I would offer you the following suggestion, that the Rambam, in over that 30-year period of time, changed his mind. It's not the first time that you'll find that the Rambam contradicts what he writes in Mishneh Torah. It does not reflect what he writes in his Pirush HaMishnayos. Meaning, in Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam is assuming that the halacha of Rosh HaIlon is halacha in Kavana. And therefore the Rambam has to find out, for why is it that in Kriyat Shema, which also requires Kavana, nevertheless he can stay up on the tree and recite Kriyat Shema. And for the Rambam, because there's a difference between Kavana Salev and Tefillah and Kavana Salev and Kriyat Shema. Kavana Salev and Tefillah takes you from the beginning of Tefillah till the end, and Kavana Salev and Kriyat Shema is only the first pasuk. That's the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos. Then we take a look at the Rambam Mishneh Torah, and we, you know, covering the Rambam, we anticipate that the Rambam is going to codify the halacha of Rosh HaIlon in Tefillah, in Perek Dalet Milchus Tefillah, under the laws of Kavana, which are absolutely indispensable, and yet the Rambam waits till Perek Hey, and he has laws which are lechatchila, but not bidiyeved. And in that context of tikkun, he has tikkun hamakom, and ketzad tikkun hamakom, and he says, we're talking about Rosh, ha'umnin shayu osim b'rosh, ha'kosel b'rosh, ha'ilan. That's called tikkun hamakom. And again, Rabosai, you know, in the Melechet Shlomo's frame of reference, that he makes the diuk that our Mishnah seems to assume, ha'umnin korin b'rosh ha'ilan, it doesn't say, with regard to tefillah, that aimless palel barosh ha'ilun, it only says ein rashoyim lasos came b'tefillah, which sounds, says the Melech Shomes lechatchila halacha. I'm inclined to think that the Rambam also had the same diuk in the Mishnah, but yet came to it based on that diuk, and he was so bothered by this diuk. How could it be that barosh ha'ilun is only a lechatchila halacha and not ma'akivli b'dieved? The Rambam therefore rejected, you know, he took the rug out of under our feet, and he said, no, you're misunderstanding this Mishnah. This Mishnah is not based on Kavana. This Mishnah is based on Halacha of Tikkun Makom. Now, you can ask many, many different questions here. Like, why isn't the Rambam bothered by Kavana, according to his reading of the Mishnah? Again, I understand why the Rambam is forced, you know, in the logical progression of his thinking. He cannot accept, on the one end, that the Mishnah is talking about a lechatchila halacha, and on the other hand, the Mishnah is talking about a yidin whose yisod is kavana. Kavana is not something that you can play around with. It's not lechatchila. So the Rambam was forced to come up with a whole new pshat in our Mishnah. That I understand. What I don't understand is, why is the old pshat in the Mishnah not the correct pshat? Why is Rosh HaIlon not an issue of Kavana? I don't know. Again, the Mishnah doesn't mention the word Kavana. But one would ostensibly argue that if he's up there on the top of the tree, it's very hard to be miskaven. But be that as it may, the Rambam says that, like maybe what Michael was saying before, you know, Rosh HaIlon is not so terrible. Maybe even Rosh HaKosel is not so terrible. He somehow saddles his legs in on the side of the Kosel. I don't know, there's some sort of a brick that's protruding, and he's able to do. But rather, it's halach of tikkun hamakom. There are certain dinim that require makomos, and one of the, it could be that because because of the halacha of kavana, therefore they said that Rosh Ha'ilan, which is not the ideal place for kavana, it's not so conducive to kavana, they established it as a makom gavoah, which the Rambam has here in halacha Zion of Perek Hey, where he says lo yamid b'makom gavoah, that that's a violation of makom hatfila. But again, v'di'eved, if you daven in a makom gavoah, Yoyotze. Here too, in Ha'umnin, the Rambam essentially would say that v'di'eved yoyotze. As opposed to a shikar, what's the din of a shikar who daven? The Rambam says explicitly in Berek Dalid, is tfilas ha'toeva, v'chozer mispalel. So again, clearly, the Rambam is making this distinction. If you're incapable of kavana, then your tefillah is not tefillah, and you have to repeat tefillah. Kavana is an absolute requirement from the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei to the end. But if you're in a place where, although l'chatchil, it's not conducive to kavana, but we say that you can have kavana, then it might come under the halacha of tikkun makom, that if it's a high place, then it comes on the tikkun makom, and the Rambam holds that tikkun makom is a requirement amongst the eight requirements in Perkei Lechatchila, but it's not likuva, and he was yotzei if not. No, if that be the case, Rabbosai, maybe the Rambam would have a whole other answer to the question of Kriyat Shema. All the Mefarshim rack their brains. If this halacha of Ein Rasha'im Lassus came with Filon Rosh Ha'ilan's not a place that's conducive to Kavana, what about Kriyat Shema? And they come up with the answer, well, Kriyat Shema only requires Kavana and Pasuk Rishon. Maybe the Rambam had a whole different answer to that question. That the din of Tikkun Makom only applies to tefillah. If you open up Kilchus Kriyat Shema, there is no din of tikkun makom in Kriyat Shema. And it's halakha makom tzoa that we discussed, if you recall, but not tikkun makom. All these special requirements in tikkun makom are unique and singular to tefillah, they don't apply to Kriyat Shema. So that's something that perhaps would be pretty fascinating. Rashi, by the way, is very interesting. Mitch, if you want to pass this back, or if it's going to bother you here, but just because I'm running out of space. But Rashi here in Masechta Sukkah has something to say about our Mishnah, I think. And this you'll see on Yamar Makomos page on Roman numeral number 2 on page 2, number Gimel. And the Rashi at the very, very end of the page is talking about a chassan. And the Brisa is quoted here in Sukkah Chaf Hei as differentiating between tefillah on the one hand and Kriyat Shema on the other hand with regard to a chassan. Rashi says that even though a chassan is potter from tefillah, Rashi says, debe'ina and debo'i kavana, he's not capable of having the proper kavana. Rashi says, nevertheless, chayavim b'kriyat shma, the mitzvahs kavanosa eina ela b'posuk rishon. We can expect of the chassan that for the reading of one posuk, Shema Yisrael, a few seconds, yecholim liyashev daiton, we can require him to focus his attention, shah katana for the short interval of time, kidei likro posuk rishon, so that he reads the first posuk of kriyat shma. So I would put this Rashi together with the Rambam and the Ra'av and the Melechet Shlomo that we saw on the Mishnayis, and if you don't mind again, if I could trouble you, and therefore that's the way to go. However, leaving Rashi on the side, I mean Rashi and Sukkah on the side, Rashi here in Masechta Brachos, he does learn that our Mishnah is based on Kavana, but he adds three words. And he says, the tzilusa rachmehi. That what is the essence of tefillah? It's bakoshas racham. And I was thinking to myself that maybe Rashi is trying to answer this question about Kriyat Shema. Meaning, why is it that as far as Kriyat Shema is concerned, we're not going to hassle him to come down from the tall tree, even though Kriyat Shema also requires kavana? Yes. Kriyat Shema requires kavana, says Rashi, but not the kavana of rachamim. And perhaps this would explain why the halachas of kavana and tefillah are so fundamental and so, shall I say, demanding. What is the purpose of kavana and tefillah? The Rambam writes in Perek Dalid, kavana salev ketzad. The Rambam says that kavana means that he is standing in front of the Shekhinah. Shiyafana libo mikhala machshavos vir yira atzmo kiluhu omeid lifnei Shekhinah. And maybe when a person is asking for rachamim, he shouldn't do it long distance, and he has the rights and the special privileges to be mispalel lifnei Ashchina. You know, you can bring his request, his supplication, right up to the king and whisper into his ear. That's called kavanin tefillah. And according to the Rambam, that kavanin tefillah takes him from the beginning of tefillah until the end of tefillah. So the powerful experience of rachmei ninhu makes tefillah something very unique. We don't find in Kriyat Shema that there's a requirement of Shiyiskavin Shu Omeid Lifnei Ashchina. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad means Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, but not Ka'omeid Lifnei Ashchina. And if that be the case, Rabosai, the answer to the question about the difference between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, now we have a third answer. The first answer, let's just review, is that Kriyat Shema is only Pasuk Rishon, whereas tefillah, the requirement of kavana is from beginning to end. The second answer we offered is that this halacha of our mishnah is not based on kavana at all. It's halacha in tikkun makom. And tikkun makom is a unique halacha in tefillah and doesn't apply to Kriyat Shema. The third answer we're giving is, forget about the fact that Kriyat Shema is only one pasuk. The kavana that we require is only the first pasuk. Forget about the fact that the Rambam says that this halacha of Rosh Ha'ilon is halacha in tikkun makom. Leave all that out. There's a fundamental difference, essential difference between the kavana of tefillah and the kavana of Kriyat Shema. The kavana of tefillah requires me to stand in front of the king and put forth my request. The kavana of Kriyat Shema is my own personal kavana to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim. And the difference is going to be that you can't be in a situation that's very precarious, very dangerous, you know, with one foot over the ledge, and tell me that you have a focus, that you are standing in front of the Shekhinah. I mean, again, you know, a jokester might say, cynically, that Adarafa, if I'm in such a dangerous position, I have to be able to lift the Shekhinah. I'm holding on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, his talus, like in Slichas, you know, the strings, because otherwise they're going to fall off. But he's very careful about, you know, not tipping himself this way, I never went, tightroping. You know, tightroping. What are you saying?
I'm saying, no.
Well, what's it called in Britain?
Modern tightroping.
Yeah, I don't know how you call it anything. But, you know, we read children's books to our kids about tightroping, and tightroping is very, very dangerous. But the people who are experts at it, they seem to be so professional that they're courageous. They don't even get overwhelmed by fear. But I would still say that even a tightroper would not be able to have this kavana of bakashas, of kavana of omei lifnei Ashchinah. That constant awareness that you're standing in front of the Shekhinah, which again, as I said before, for Aseres Tshuva, it would be a nice Kabbalah, you know, but it's a little bit harsh. You know, the Chazon Ish says that it's almost impossible for us to have kavana throughout the entire Shemoneh Esrei that we're omei lifnei Ashchinah. All sorts of thoughts, you know, pop into our head, and it could be that those thoughts that come into our head are because we're involved in Bakashas Rachmim. Because once you start thinking about what you need and how Hashem can help you, that's when the thoughts kind of avalanche and a domino theory from one thought to the other. That's why you should know in bells, the minig is to daven very quickly. And when they ask the bellsers, you know, why do you daven so fast? They say, well, if you're on a train and the train is traveling at a slow pace, somebody could jump on the train and who knows what he's going to do to you there. But if the train is moving at the speed of light, nothing can jump on. So the Yetzer wants to jump on with all sorts of achshavas. If you daven quickly, you know, he won't be able to get a hold of you. But be that as it may, it could be that there are three different explanations, maybe there are a lot more that I don't know of, that would explain the difference between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah.
Really?
Yeah.
There's one fundamental thing I don't understand. Like, I can't see how you can make a distinction to the detriment, so to speak, if I can use that word, of Kavana, Ol Malchus Shemayim, Kavana Samos Shemayim, and Kavana Tefillah. Because Tanakh Mekabel Omach Hashemayim.
Yeah.
Tefila is ma. I mean, tzuvemin.
Hmm. So, right, but again, the halach of Omid Mifnei Shechina, that we don't find in Kriyat Shema. Do you follow what I'm saying? In terms of what's critical, you're right. I mean, the Ramban sheet is that tefillah is only the Rabbana. We should not put the Ramban on the side. Nobody argues that Kriyat Shema is the Oraisa. I shouldn't say nobody argues. You always find one sheet that Kriyat Shema is the Rabbana. But be that as it may, and even the Ramban agrees that Kriyat Shema is the Oraisa. And therefore, as you say, in terms of, you know, classifying, or if you were to give, you know, grades, you know, and compare Kriyat Shema to Tefillah, certainly Kriyat Shema is more fundamental than Tefillah. But in terms of Kavana, what we find in Tefillah is unique, that we don't find in any mitzvah, not even with regard to Kriyat Shema. As fundamental as Kriyat Shema is, we don't find this halacha that you need such a Kavana, such a deep, profound awareness that you're standing in front of the Shekhinah. Now, Alan, getting back to your point from before, does the Rambam hold that from the beginning of Tefillah until the very end of Tefillah, I have to have Kavana to be Omid Lifnei HaShechinah? So Reb Chaim was bothered by this because the Rambam in Perek Yud Milchus Tefillah Alocha Aleph writes, Mishis Palo V'lo Kiven Libo Yachzar V'yispalo B'Kavon V'im Kiven Libo B'Brocha Rishona Shuveinu Tzarech. The Rambam is outspoken that Kavanah is only ma'akiv in the first bracha, that's Magid Avos. You don't need it beyond that. But yet the Rambam says in Perek Dalet Halacha Tesvav, called tefillah sheina b'kavanah ain't a tefillah. So how do you reconcile these two Rambams? And this is where Reb Chaim, you know, has this very famous chiddush. My Rebbe did not accept this chiddush of his grandfather, but Reb Chaim was of the opinion that there are two different kavanas here. There's one kavana that's Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah, that's the Rambam in Perek Dalet. There's another kavana in Perek Yud, which is Pirush HaMilos, to understand the words of the Shmon Esrei. From the perspective of the second, the latter din of kavana, only the first bracha is ma'akev. But as far as being Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah is concerned, even if you don't know a word, you don't understand the word that you're saying, from Magen Avraham until the balance of the Shemot Esrei, you're still Yotzei as long as you're aware of the fact that you're standing in front of the Shechinah. That was Reb Chaim's reconciliation of these two Rambams. And if you accept Reb Chaim, again I go back to square one, and that is that Kavanah and Tefillah is very unique. To be Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah, and that's a Kavanah which will accompany us and will be required from the beginning until the very end.
You have to be Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah in order to accept Omeid Shemayim, otherwise it doesn't work.
Why? But let's say, for example, when I thank Hashem in Birkas HaMazon, is there a halacha that I have to be Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah? I've never seen it. Maybe you can find a source for me. The only place I found this havlocha, it might apply to Kohen Gadol when he goes in the Kodesh Kodeshim, but that's not for us. The only mitzvah that we know of that requires kavanah shu omid lifnei shechinah is tefillah. You won't find that kavanah anywhere.
Yeah, but that's not...
I'm not downgrading Kriyat Shema, Rabbi, please. I know that the Olam here is being very sensitive that I'm trying to insult Kriyat Shema. That's not my purpose. Kriyat Shema is fundamental. But you don't have to be Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah. That halacha is not a requirement.
To Kriyat Shema. So explain, what does Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah mean?
Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah means the Shechinah is surrounding me.
You have to be cognizant of it.
Correct.
And that creates
a separate makom tefillah that doesn't apply to Kriyat Shema. For example, once I'm Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah, no one's allowed to go into that area. The mamish dinim that apply to be Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah. No one's allowed to cross into the area. According to many poskim, they're not even allowed to go behind me. It's not just our luck of interference.
That's true by Shmon Esrei. By Shema also, someone's reading Shema, one should not look.
That I don't know. I never saw that. We'll have to study it. But that's halacha in Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah. Or for example, there's a separate halacha of kviyas makom for tefillah. We don't have halacha of kviyas makom for Kriyat Shema. Why is it so important to be koveya a separate makom? Because you're Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah. That's your Omeid Lifnei HaShechinah. You know, and not only that, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to bring let's say if somebody is standing in tefillah, you're not allowed to bring certain filthy things into that area, you know, that's halacha in tefillah. All of that is because of the halacha of omed lifnei ashkim. Let's go on to the Mishnah. We mentioned Chasan, and this is the Mishnah of Chasan. Chasan potter mikriyat shma laila rishona ad motzoi Shabbos in lo asa maisa. So he's tarud. This is called tarud. And he's so tarud that he can't even read kriyat shma. Now we're getting to, you know, if a person is up on the Elon, then he's not called tarud. But if he's involved in kriyat, in bila rishona, the mitzvah of a chasan, again, he's never been married before, and she's never been married before, you need both, then he's part of a kriyat shma, that's called tirda. Now exactly what the tirda is, that's going to be machlokas mefarshim. Some say he's tarud because maybe Chas Shalom he won't find her to be a besula. Keep in mind that she, in the old days, she waited a full year where she lived in her father's house. Or maybe he's tarud that he'll make himself into a kros shivcha. He won't be able to do the right thing and it could be very dangerous for him in a very sensitive area of his body. Whatever it is, he's tarud.
Is he pater from tefillah too?
For sure he's pater from tefillah. That's with a kal v'chomer, correct? Umaisa Baram Gamliel Shenosa Isha, it was his first marriage. Vikara Laila Rishona. We in our language you say a frumak. He was machmir on himself, a new chumra. No chasan until Ram Gamliel went ahead and read Kriyat Shema on the night of his wedding. But Ram Gamliel came along and he declared, I'm okay, I can read it. I'm a low Talmidov. Libaditana Rambenu. Why are you? You know, there was probably at the Shmog, you know, they went out to Dav Meiriv and then the Chassid decided to join them. Again, today we're all Ram Gamliels, right? But in the old days, the Chassid would never join the Minyan, you know, to recite Kriyat Shema. Amalehem, he says, Ani, Eini Shomei Alechem, I'm not going to listen to you, meaning the rabbis, Levatel Heimeni, Malchus Shamayim, Afilu Sha'achas. So, Rav Bosa, I had a question for you based on the Yerushalmi. This Yerushalmi is a very, very famous statement in the Yerushalmi. Those are the only Yerushalmis I know, are the famous ones. And the Yerushalmi says, a very famous language, Kol Mishu Potamidov Ravoseu Nikra Hejot. Now, I have to tell you that the word Hejot is a very pejorative term in Chazal. I'm not sure which is worse, whether worse is to be called an Amoret or is to be called a Hejot. I'm not sure. But be that as it may, Nikra Hejot. It's not something that we recommend. And I was thinking out loud with you, what does this mean that Ram Gamliel is going to recite Kriyat Shema, despite the fact that he's parted from Kriyat Shema? And he's not concerned with this principle of Nikra Hejot. He doesn't blink about it. Again, it could be, anyone could argue that Ram Gamliel never knew about this Yerushalmi. He came before the Yerushalmi, so he didn't have to be despoiled from the Yerushalmi. However, I want to show you that this halacha of Nikra Hejot is actually brought down. It's not just Yerushalmi, it's brought down in the poskim. And since we're coming close to Pesach, to Sukkot, excuse me, I'm already holding in Pesach, I wanted to show you, if we find the Mishnah Berurah, let me just borrow this. That the Rambam brings this down in Siman Tav Resh Lamed Tes. And this is the famous case that we'll have later on about rain in the sukkah. And it's really, really coming down. You know, because the halacha talks about the fact that the Geshomim are coming to such an extent that it's really ruining the soup. And yet, the Ramah says that supposing he decides, Machnish Nois, it doesn't bother me. I don't care, one way or the other. I'm going to sit in the sukkah. Says the Ramah, Kol apotur min ha-sukkah, v'eino yotze misham, eino mekabel olav schar. This guy wants to be a frumak. You know, he's sitting there with his umbrella. Well, Lenny's for sure he's not Yotzei Mitzvah. But let's say he's sitting there letting the rain, you know, fall on his head. The Eino Ella Mehed Yotos. He's considered a Hejot. wow, the Ramos aware of this Yerushalmi, I'm very impressed. Maybe the Ramos are bucking Yerushalmi. But the truth is that he wasn't quoting the Yerushalmi. He's quoting the Hagos Maimonios. The Hagos Maimonios was a Rishon, and he's a commentary on the Rambam. And I don't have the Rambam Hilchos Sukkos, the one sefer I wasn't able to bring, but do you have a Rambam? Do you have a Rambam Hilchos Sukkos with Hagos Maimonios? No, that you don't have. Okay, so you'll trust the Ramah, you don't have to trust me, but the Ramah quotes Hagos Maimonios in Perek Vav Mihilchos Sukkos, and where is it? Halacha Os Gimel. You know, the Hagos Maimonios is broken down into Osios, so it's Os Gimel. If anybody has the Rambam with Hagos Maimonios, I'll read it to you, just to read it inside. You know what? I'll get it myself. Just, I'll be right back. I'm used to teaching 18-year-olds. Okay, so let's listen to what Agos Maimonides has to say. He quotes the Gaonim, and the Gaonim say, "This is where Perek Vav. What do we say? Os Gimel, right?" Just look, double check here. What did I write? Oh, looking at page 2. That's not going to help me. Page 1. Yeah. Okay. So he quotes it. He doesn't quote it also in the name of the... Oz Beis? Okay, good. Oz Beis. Kosser Beinu Simcha Savroi Kol Mitztar Potev in a Sukkah V'yim Eina Yotzev Yisham Eina Makabel Schar Ela Hejotu Kili Isa V'yushalmi Shekol Potev in a Dov Roseu Nikra Hejot. So I will say, for this issue, again, how to justify Rav Gamliel, we don't want to call Rav Gamliel a Hejot, and he read Kriyat Shema even though he's a Chassan. We need a little brisk alumnus. I mean, classical Rav Chaim's language it would apply. What's the difference between the Ptur of Sukkah in the case of Geshavim, which is called Mitztayer Potev in a Sukkah, and the Ptur of Kriyat Shema for a Chassan who's Tarud in the Ilah Rishon?
In the case of Sukkah, it's not going to come any mitzvah whatsoever. It's not coming to Duru, but there's still an afshah of
Kibbutz. What you say is good. I just want to. The tools here are very important, the formulation. So the briskers always have the fine chiluk. Sometimes it's called half-kos maisa mitzvah, and sometimes it's called a ptur gavra. Just you know, for future reference, if you want to impress your grandchildren if they're learning in brisk, you know, you'll tell them the following. So in brisk, they always make the following distinction: that sometimes it's half-kos maisa mitzvah, meaning the maisa mitzvah is mufka; it's not even a maisa mitzvah at all. Like Daniel says, teshu came to do. The Torah says yeshiva, but it's not just yeshiva to sit there like this, you know, with the water coming over your head, or it's maisa. Minus 30 degree weather, you know. Minus 30 degrees Celsius. I once have a story with a father of one of my students who came from Montreal, you know. Anyway, so what we have to know is that sometimes it's so difficult to sit in the sukkah, the conditions are so harsh that it's not considered a yeshiva of a sukkah, because the halacha requires a certain type of yeshiva. Less than that, it's not a yeshiva. So if you're sitting in the sukkah and you're mitztayer, that's called a hejo. It's not even a mice and mitzvah at all. Other times, what the Torah says, the halacha says, is that Einachidami, you are capable of the mice and mitzvah, but you're potter from the mitzvah. We're not going to expect you to go that far and extend yourself in order to fulfill the mitzvah. That's going to be the difference between Rav Gamliel on the one hand and this Yerushalmi on the other hand. And especially the way that Hagos Maimonides applies the Yerushalmi in the case of Sukkah and the Ramah follows suit. In the case of a Chassan, it's not that he's Mufka from the Maisa Mitzvah. He's capable of reading Kriyat Shema just like you and I are. And what the Torah says, the Halacha says, you're Potter. The Talmidim didn't understand like that. The Talmidim understood that there was a new halacha here, that a chassan is not just potter from kriyat shma, just that he alleviated from the, he doesn't have to work hard to overcome his tirda and you know, free himself for 5 seconds to read kriyat shma. No, the halacha was that he doesn't have a ma'aser mitzvah. The halacha is that a chassan is mufka, just like a sukkah with rain coming in is mufka from yeshiva b'sukkah. But Rabbi Gamliel taught him that that's not true. That there's a fundamental difference when the Yerushalmi says nikra hedja. That's because it's not a ma'aser mitzvah at all. In the case of kriyat shma for a chassan, it's a p'tur gavra because he's incapable of kavana. But lu yitzur, he's capable of kavana. Then enochinami, his ma'aser mitzvah was never in question. It was never on the mind or tainted, and therefore he's mekayim that mitzvah. But both I was very excited about this, except for the Ramah, because I quoted to you the Ramah in Sif Zion. But that was a little bit unfair of me, because I skipped and I failed to mention to you the Ramah in Sif Hay. And the Ramah in Sif Hay says, Yardu Gishamin, and he goes on to tell you when you go into the house, etc., etc. And then the Ramah writes, calls it Dafka B'Shar Yomim O'Lelos Shel Sukkos. What do you mean, Shar Yomim O'Lelos? Av Olayla Rishona, says the Ramah, Tzorech Lekol B'Sukkah Af Im Gishomim Yardim. So both I don't understand. How could the Ramah tell me that I am going to sit in Sukkah when the rains are falling, really seriously, profusely, and we just said that that means it's not a Maisa Yeshiva, and the Ramah says that on the first night, Yechayev. What does the Ramah understand about this halach of Yardu Gishamim? It's not, of course, Maisa Mitzvah, it's only what? A Ptur Gavra. If it's a Ptur Gavra, that applies all the dinim of Ptur Gavra on the second, third, etc., all the balance of Yotah. But on the first night, there's no Ptur Gavra because there's a separate chova to eat in Sukkah. How much you have to eat in Sukkah? That's a gigantic machlokas, whether it's a kezayis or a kebetza. Do I more paskins kezayis lakula? And therefore, I have to eat a kezayis Sukkah with the rains coming down. Again, I wouldn't advocate this. I would advocate wait till it stops raining. But then the question is, how long do you have to wait? And you have the famous comment of the Mishnah Berurah, the Shaar HaTzion, and you remember that if you have guests who are hungry, you might violate a lav d'oraisa of Altiacher. But so be careful about this. But if you have no choice, says the Ramah, go in there and be mekayim the mitzvah sukkah, yechayv in sukkah the first night, at least chach a kezayis. Rabbi Shu, come in. Oh, I thought you needed to call somebody out. That's why I was.
As Michael was complaining, it's a nice approach.
Yeah.
First night is sukkah.
Okay. Truth is, there are places in the world like Canada where, you know, I met a couple in Canada. They told me they haven't slept in. Okay, that's sleeping in the sukkah, maybe a little different, but they haven't slept in the sukkah in 8 years. You know, that's how cold it gets. And Toronto is not the coldest place on the earth. So you really have places where it's very, very difficult to even carry the mitzvah. So the Ramah is saying, you know, the rains are coming down. You know, in Poland it rains plenty a lot. You know, he was in Krakow. And you have to eat at least the kezayis and sukkah. But the point I want to make is that from this Ramah, I derive the conclusion that the halach, the definition of Yardu Gisham, is not the way we said it. A hafkas yeshiva besukkah, it's not a maisa mitzvah, but rather it's a ptur gavra. When it's a ptur gavra, we differentiate classically between the first night and the other nights. For example, I'm not sure, let's say you don't have your own sukkah. And there's someone, Yenim, on the other side of the city who has a sukkah. So how far do I have to go? I would tell you the following, that if it's a real tsar for you to pick yourself up and eat in someone's sukkah, there are many different elements here. It's not just the traveling, you know, until you get permission and then sukkah's closed, open, whatever it is, then you're part of Avedvar, move the balance of sukkahs. But on the first night, you've got to do, you have to, you know, move mountains to make sure that you have a sukkah. If you can't build one, then, you know, make sure to sleep on the other side of town, no matter how far it is, in order to eat the sukkah. That I understand, because there the halacha is a ptur gavra, you know. But in the case where we said it's nikra hedjot, and the Ramah himself says nikra hedjot. Obviously the Ramah, when he's talking about nikra hedjot, he's not talking on the first night. I mean, then the Ramah is a blatant contradiction. But still, if the Ramah is quoting the Yerushalmi based on the Hagos Ronis in this context, that Yardu Gishomim is Nikra Hejod, and the way we interpret it is that it's Hafkos Maisa Mitzvah, how could he be Mekayim that Mitzvah on the first night? So here I want to share with you something that I heard from my Rebbe zillions of years ago, and I hope I'm saying it over the right way. Yesh Laka, what is the Mitzvah of Sukkah? Is it yeshiva b'sukkah or achila b'sukkah? If it's yeshiva b'sukkah, then you need teshu kein taduru, because that's how the halach defines yeshiva. If it's achila b'sukkah, then as long as you're capable of a maisa achila, then if this maisa achila takes place inside a sukkah, that itself engenders the kiyuma mitzvah. And the Rav said, again if I quote him correctly, it's many years ago, that there's a difference between the first night of Sukkos and the balance of Sukkos. The balance of Sukkos is Shivas Yomim Teshvu B'Sukkos. Teshvu means Yeshiva. And Yeshiva has to be Ke'ein Dira. And if it's not Ke'ein Dira Yodug Shomim, it's not a Maisa Mitzvah. You Nikra Hejot. But on the first night of Sukkos, we derive the Chiyuv in the famous Gzer Shav Tutu of Tesvav Tesvav. Just like on the first night of Pesach, you chayv to do an Achilas Matzah. How much is an Achila Kizayis? So too, on the first night of Sukkos, you need an Achila B'Sukkah. And that's called a Kizayis. And the Ramola Shitoso says it's a Kizayis. Even though it's Yoredu Gishamim. Even though I cannot achieve a yeshiva of Ke'ein Taduru, but nevertheless, I have a Maisa Achila B'Tocha Sukkah, meaning Yoredu Gishom is not Mafkir Shem Sukkah, it's Mafkir the Yeshiva. But I can have a yeshiva, I can have an Achila B'Tocha Sukkah even without a yeshiva, and that's going to happen on the first night because of what? Of the mitzvah of Tesvav that's derived from Achilas Matzah. So Rav Hosai, what we didn't get a chance to study today is the sugya of Rami Le Rav Mori Bar Debas Shmuel, which is the second of the wide lines on Daf Tezayin. That's Emir Tzashem, our next sugya. And take a look in the Rif, take a look in the Rashba, take a look in, of course, Rashi and Tosvis, and Bali Neder will try to do that. On when is that next meeting? On Monday? Or is Monday Erev Yontif? No, Monday's not Erev Yontif. So we'll meet on Monday. And everyone should have a meaningful fast and be successful in Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Thank you, sir. So we're looking for Eitan.
I'll put it back where you found.
Yeah, put it back where you found, if you don't mind.